turn off the lights, which will allow us to have as little distraction as possible. What you want to do is to get yourselves into a nice, comfortable position. Again, I like to take my shoes off for any deep meditative psychic work that we do, or in this case, we're going to work on astral traveling. And again, if you have your shoes off, nothing tied around your waist, this is going to be easier for you to relax. The most important thing here is relaxing. And I think I'm also going to put the cat out, because we definitely don't want the cats jumping on you in the middle of your journey. It will call you back.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Certainly.
And if you do this at home, make sure that you turn the phone off, that you stop the clock, as I'm about to do, that you put the cats out, in spite of the fact that they don't want you put out. See, this one was hiding, so I wouldn't see him.
I didn't even know he was in here.
So quiet. Okay, and when you do this at home, you'll do the same thing. You go around and manage to quiet your place and eliminate the distractions as much as possible. Now, I'm going to count us down to our 1 to 10 progressive relaxation. We're going to use our worry box to get rid of all of our cares and concerns. We'll put them as far away from us as we can. And we're going to go into our magical workplace. By this time, having used that workplace so many times, it probably is nice and comfortable. And again, intuitively, emotionally, psychically, you feel very protected in that place. So that's a good place for you to start your exercise with. I'm going to teach you the astral traveling using your energy screen. But to astral travel, you won't need to use that screen once you learn the techniques. You should be able to just get your body nice and relaxed, go to your workplace, and take off. Okay? Now close your eyes, take a deep breath, as deep as you can, and very slowly release it. And as you release it, feel all the stress and tension easing out of your body. Feel your whole body go relaxed and limp. Feel yourself letting go of the cares and the tensions of the day. Now turn the breath around and inhale again as deeply as you can. And this time again, as you exhale, let your body settle down. Let it sink into the chair or whatever surface you're sitting or lying on. Breathe out deeper and deeper. And then turn that breath around and breathe in. And a last time out. With each exhalation, feel your body settling deeper, more relaxed. Now, in your mind's eye, take out your worry box, and into that box, place all of your cares and your fears, any concern that you have on your mind that could interfere with our work. You may even wish to place your physical body in the box so that it won't be a distraction during our work. When you're done, close the lid on the box and slide it around behind you where you can't see it and where you will forget it. Now focus your attention, please, on your head.
Focus your energy, your attention, on all the muscles around your scalp and your face. As you focus on each one, feel it relax. Feel the tension ease out of it. Let go the muscles on your forehead, your cheeks, around your mouth. Feel the muscles that move your eyes relax. Swallow, releasing any muscular tension in your throat. Roll your head around once, breathing out as you drop your head forward, in as your head drops backward. And when you've completed one revolution, turn your head the other way. Again, breathing out as your head drops forward, in as it drops backwards. This releases the tension in your neck. Now, two, take a moment to appreciate the relaxation of your whole head and face and neck. And now let that relaxation flow inwards like a soothing cloud of relaxed energy into your mind and brain, letting your mind relax. You might want to breathe in as you bring that smooth relaxation into your mind. Your mind is learning what that relaxation feels like. Three, your mind now understands relaxation and you use it to send a wave of relaxation down through your whole body, down through the neck, into the chest, the lower body, the hands, the legs, the feet. Four, direct your attention to the muscles and tendons of both feet. Let your mind tell these to relax, to let go, and to sleep. Five, direct your attention now to the muscles of your legs, your calves, your thighs, and let your mind also tell these, relax, let go, sleep. Six, direct your mind's attention to your lower body and to all of the organs within your lower torso, your bladder, kidneys, intestines, sexual apparatus. Let your mind tell all of these muscles and organs, relax, let go, and sleep. Feel your breathing deepen as each portion of your body progressively relaxes deeper and deeper. Seven, direct your mind's attention now to the muscles and organs of your upper body, your lungs, heart, diaphragm, stomach, liver, gallbladder. Feel your breathing again deepen still further as your mind tells all of these muscles and organs, relax. Let go. Sleep. Eight. Now direct your mind's attention at the muscles of your back, from your neck to the base of your spine. Focus your attention on those muscles. And as you do, tell your whole back, relax, let go, sleep, relax. Let go of all of the tension. Sleep. Nine. Now direct your mind's attention to the muscles of both arms, hands, and fingers. Let your mind tell all of these, relax, let go, sleep, relax, let go, and sleep. Ten. Your whole body now is relaxed, totally at ease, even asleep. But your mind is alert, aware, in the 10 state, the alpha state, 10. Mind awake, body asleep, 10. Breathing deeper with each breath, breathing even, body asleep. Mind awake, alert, calm and still. No stresses, no tensions, just total relaxation, total ease and comfort. Now in your mind's eye, move to your magical workplace. As always, when you come into your workplace, scan a 360-degree circle. What has changed since your last visit here, if anything? What is different? Now move to your work table. And on your work table is your energy screen. Take up that screen and stand it on end on the floor. And stretch it, watch it grow into a doorway. A doorway big enough for you to walk through. Now as you look at your blank white screen, a picture forms on it. It becomes a hallway. This hallway is familiar. It reminds you of the hallway that we entered to meet our guides. But this hallway seems to have no end. As you look, it seems to go on and on and on. Into infinity. On either side of the hallway, there are doors. As you look inside, you can see some are numbered, some are not. The doors are all different. Some are wood, some are metal, some are glass. Sometimes there's a long space without a door on it. In other areas, the doors are very close together. This is the hallway into every life you have ever lived and every life you will ever live. Through this hallway, you can go backwards or forwards in time at your discretion. You can even go back to visit earlier moments in the present life. Take a deep breath. And as you exhale, let yourself step forward into this hall. And as soon as you step forward into the hallway, you begin to feel a sensation of speed. It's as if you're being drawn forward, pulled along by some force beyond you. You're going faster and faster, faster. All you can feel is the sensation of speed. Your breathing quickens. Your pulse rate quickens. You feel a vibration within you. You hear a high-pitched tone around you. And still you move faster. Doorways are flashing by. The hallway itself becomes a black blur. The doorways flashing lights as you pass, faster. And now as you move, you begin to experience a spinning sensation. You're moving so fast your feet don't touch the ground. You're floating, you're flying, on faster, spinning as you go, faster, faster, until finally it's as if there's a push, a pop. You let your breath go. You feel you are floating free. It's as if you are floating in free fall space, drifting. And yet you know that in a moment, with a thought, just a thought, you can be 1,000 miles away. Movement here happens by thought. And now you think yourself to the nearest door that you would wish to pass through. You merely think it, and you find yourself standing before a doorway into another lifetime. Look at that door. Put your hand on it. Touch it. Feel it beneath your fingers. Is it cool? Is it rough? What is it made out of? Do you see any markings, any designs, any numbers? Now step through the door. It opens easily. Step right through. Close it behind you and turn. Put your hands on it from this side. Does it feel like the same door? Is it the same color, the same texture? Step back a pace. Look at the wall around the door. What is it set into? Are you inside or outside? How does the air around you feel? Is it cool? Is it hot? Look down. What are you standing on? Rub your feet on it. Bend it down and feel it. while you're at it, look at your own hands and feet. Do they belong to a boy, a girl, a man, a woman? Look at the clothing that you have on. What do you look like? Find something to look in. Find something that you can see your appearance in. About how old are you? Look completely around this place that you are in. Look for any people, animals that may be here. Allow yourself to feel the emotional responses that you feel as you move through this space. Do this on your own over the next few minutes. Now that you have a good picture of this area of your life, move forward in time. Be a time traveler. Stay in the same life, on the same journey. But with your thought, think yourself 5 years, 5 years into the future. And you are there. The scene around you has changed. You're in a different place. Again, look around. Do you recognize the people from the earlier period? Do you recognize them from the life you are living now? Look around you. Where are you? What are your circumstances? Are you happy? How do you feel right now? Again, move forward by thinking yourself forward still another 5 years or until the next major occurrence in this life. Again, a new scene forms around you easily. Where are you? Whom are you dealing with? How do you feel about the situation? this time, direct your attention to the ending of this life. With your mind, reach forward to your death. Rise above yourself. Feel no pain. Watch how you died. What were the circumstances? How did you feel about dying? Now let your higher self talk to you for a moment. What was the primary life lesson that you learned in this life? Let it come into your mind. The primary lesson. Now look back over that life and recall the greatest pain that you endured. What was the greatest pain, the thing that hurt most? And look back one last time. What was the thing that brought the greatest joy? What brought the greatest joy? Now, turn yourself around and look behind you, and you will see the doorway that you came into this life through. You'll remember where it is. Step through it. Close it behind you. You're back in the hallway that led here. You can come back and visit this life anytime you like in the future. You'll remember it. Now take a deep breath. As you exhale, allow yourself to feel that sensation of spinning, again, spinning, spinning, moving faster and faster. You hear sound, wind rushing by, a high-pitched vibration, so high, faster and faster, walls of darkness spinning past you. A tiny light up ahead, the light back into your workplace. And finally, again with a sensation of popping, you're pushed, spit through the entranceway into your workplace. Turn and roll up your work mirror, your energy screen. Put it back on your work table. Do a 360 degree turn again, looking around your workplace. Has anything changed? Has anything been added? now we're going to step out of our workplace and come back here into this room. Bring your consciousness back into this room that you are in, but maintain your eyes closed and your body relaxed. And now, without the aid of the energy screen or the workplace, we're going to achieve separation on our own. First, I would like you to visualize an image of yourself standing directly before you. Take a moment to visualize that image as clearly as you can. An astral reflection of self. Build up the physical form. As you put more and more energy into the building of the form, more and more of yourself, your own actual energy, moves into that form. Continue to do this until you have that image almost solid. It feels almost as solid as your own form was. And now let's push the balance further. Make that form the solid form. And allow your consciousness to move into that form. Let your consciousness shift into the you that stands before you. Look back at yourself. Observe your position. See yourself objectively. You're no longer in that body. You're in your astral self. Now turn around into facing the room. Look at the other people in the room. Look at the postures of their body. Now look at the astral form, which contains their consciousness now standing before them, looking back at you. Now let yourself float up to the ceiling, all the way up, getting lighter and lighter. This is fun. Touch the ceiling. Feel its texture. Put your astral hand through it. Feel the beams. Let yourself drift up through the ceiling. Let yourself be on the roof. We're all sitting or standing on the roof. Touch the shingles, the roof surface. What's it feel like? Look at the sky above. What's it look like? Feel the air on your skin. Look at one another. Now let's drift back down through the ceiling, all the way down until you're standing on the floor again. There you are, standing in front of yourself, asking, how do I get back in? That's easy. Turn around and sit back down onto your body, and you'll feel a feeling of warmth returning to you, or a snapping sensation. Now, when you get really good at this, you can do it just as simply as standing up out of your own body. Try it. While we're in this state, stand up. Leave your body behind. In the astral, we move by thought. At this moment, You may visit any place on the planet or in any other dimension, time, or other planet, merely by a thought. Take this next few moments and go visiting. Now you feel a gentle tugging as your astral cord and my voice pull you back. Follow that cord back. As long as your physical body is living, that cord may never be snapped. You can never become lost on the astral. Feel yourself gently sink back into your own body again. Feel that warmth and wholeness that arises as you complete the re-merging with your physical form, your physical substance. Now I'm going to count us back from 10 to 1. And as I do so, let your consciousness totally reintegrate with your body. We've been way out. 10. Take a deep breath. 9. Another. 8. 7. 6. 4. Move your arms and your legs. Feel the extra heat in your hands and your legs. The body has really gone into a very deep, almost deepest sleep state. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Bring your awareness back now. Take a moment to feel how your head, your third eye, your crown center feels. Take a moment to go back over what you experienced. And then I'm going to fast forward this tape and turn it over so that we can discuss the results. Deepest meditation you ever did, huh?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Remember, if you want to astral travel, you have to get that deep. Okay? But with practice, you can do that on a dime. You can do that from one moment to the next. Okay? You just have to get your body used to being able to plunge into that deep state. There were a couple of things that I used that I want to point out to you. When we used the hallway, okay, I used that hallway to create a tunnel effect, which is very common when people are first getting out of their body. And I incorporated a sensation of speed, which raises your vibration to the point where you can separate. And I incorporated a spinning that when you feel allows you to shake loose. So the speed and the spinning is very important. Also in the beginning, we had a sucking feeling, a feeling of being drawn in. And you pointed that out earlier. That feeling of being drawn out is helpful because it helps you to eliminate your own sense of resistance. It also helps to have a goal, okay? It was easier for us to get out knowing we were gonna go visit a past life. or knowing that we were going to go and visit another country or planet. Having a goal in mind helps to allow you to release rather than just saying, I'm going to float free. Also, other hints, the reason I put the getting out without the help of the energy spring and workplace last is because as beginners, it's a lot easier for you to use tools that you're used to working with. But once you're used to it, there's no reason that you can't leave the body anytime you choose, which is what we did when we came back. You had already been in that space, so it's real easy for you to do it again. I'd like to hear your experiences. Anybody want to share?
Well, I started, I was in a barn.
This is the past life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was in a barn. I went through the barn door, and I was in a barnyard.
Uh-huh.
And I was an 8-year-old male. And blind-headed, blue-eyed, you know. And I could see a house off in the distance, and I assumed my mother was sitting up there shucking corn or snapping peas or doing something, you know. And there was cows, you could smell the animals and the fresh air.
Uh-huh.
There just been recent fresh rain.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, and you're seeing another thing here too. In the first part of this, and also the latter part of this, I had us make as many tactile connections as possible. We smelled, we felt, we touched, we saw, we tasted. The more you can connect with what you're astrally seeing, the more of your energy travels down that astral cord to the astral form, and the more complete you will be out of the body. And you can eventually do this so deeply that you really are totally out. There's no recollection of the body behind you at all. It's gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then as we progress, going up in age, next I was about 13 and I was in a schoolroom. And I was frustrated as a piece of chalk. And then when we get up to about 18, 19, I was happy. You know, I was content at first, and then I was happy. But my overall feeling was contentment all the way through the dream.
Good.
And then I died fairly young, middle 30s. It was an accident. And I couldn't place as to whether I died in a buggy accident or horse ran over.
Something mobile, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horse ran over me or whatever, right. You know. And I think during that period, my greatest sorrow was leaving my children, and I never did see the children. But,
but you knew you had them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they were fairly young.
Uh-huh. And what was the lesson?
Learning to be content.
Which you seem to have done.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. At the end of that, I had us look back at the greatest joy, the greatest sorrow, and the lesson. I believe that there's only one reason to go back into a past life, and that's if you can make the present life more worthwhile. Otherwise, why bother? Okay. I also believe that in every lifetime, there are primary lessons that you learn that you take on with you. So I don't ever go back into another life unless I look at those three things, and they kind of often sum up the life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was excellent. You can use the same technique to go back as often as you want on your own, and you can also use this technique to lay someone out on a couch and guide them back on your own. Something you may want to try. How about it?
I don't know why. I had the impression that this was my great grandma. I've never even met my dad's mother. She was dead by the time he was.
So you almost feel like you might be a reincarnation of her.
Yeah, it was. And she was older. I mean, she was already, I would say she was in her 50s.
Uh-huh.
And I got the sense, and I see why, that I was in Europe, and she would have been, because she lived there. But anyway, she was in this nice living room, just, you know, comfortable. Mm-hmm. She was by herself, though. I mean, she had like grayish black hair, she went over when you were to look around. There were pictures on her fireplace. Again, I have only ever seen one picture of my grandmother, so I don't really know how she would look when she was a child. Mm-hmm. There was a picture of her, and there was a picture of a boy, and I really don't know. I'll have to ask my dad about how much he knows about.
Interesting.
His grand.
It would be nice if he gets some feedback on that.
But anyway, when we moved ahead 5 years, I really didn't see. Her life was pretty much the same as it was. When we moved ahead the next 5 years, I kind of got confused because I had the impression at the point that she was in her bed dying, but I don't know if she was already dead, because I had this picture of her sister, but she was already dressed in black, kind of grieving mm-hmm. over, so I kind of had the impression
might have gone beyond the death at that point.
You know, she was already dead, and she was kind of seeing her sister mm-hmm. grieve mm-hmm. for her.
So
her husband was
this
already...
This is interesting. So there you were there, out of body, looking at yourself dead in the bed with the grieving sister. Okay.
Uh-huh. Her husband had already died, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, when I came into the... Although, you know, I got a picture of, you know, mm-hmm. what he looked like. And her greatest sorrow was apparently that she had lost a daughter. Her greatest joy was that her other children
were still there.
You know, had grown. She mm-hmm. felt had grown up, and you know, their lives mm-hmm. turned out uh-huh. well. Her lesson was really that she was to live in the moment and just take joy in the small things in life. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, take delight in life as it came.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to think this one through, because you could have gone back, instead of looking at your past life, you could have gone back and looked at grandmother, but you also could have gone back and looked at yourself, and
yeah,
you
well,
were
yeah,
that
this,
great-grandmother.
This was not grandmother, this would have been my great-grandmother.
Right, but you see what I'm saying? What we did is I took you back into a past life. The assumption I would make is that you were her. Okay, and you've just been reborn into a male form.
It seems it would be quick to reincarnate.
I noticed that all through your rendition, you were saying her. There's definitely a desire here not to identify with this lady. Did you catch that, Jane?
Mm-hmm.
This is one that you may want to do some follow up, and since it is something in your family, you may be able to come up with old photographs or people who know something about her. So you should track it down. Okay. That's kind of fun to do.
She seemed happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This was great. Now, when we came back here, we came out of our workplace. And by the way, did you see any changes in your workplace from before you had Astral to after you had Astral? Because there was, I mean, you learned something very important that you can now do on your own.
Just a change in color.
Okay, things more vivid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like you're seeing with greater perspective. How about you, Dave?
Mm-hmm. I never do see any change when I come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's always so well, far. It's always. Been,
I was gonna say so far. Who knows?
Been the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we came back out of the workplace, back into this room, we did a couple of other techniques. The first one is that you formed an image of yourself before you. And then, as it became more solid, you transferred your consciousness into it. This is also a very viable way of astraling. A lot of people find that easy to do. How did that seem to work for you?
For me, I always still felt like I much as I tried to put everything there, I still felt like when I was visualizing, my consciousness was still.
Okay, so you did better when you just put your brain out there, okay?
And I had the same. I was doing it, but yet I felt that I was still in here and not there.
The secret on that, if you ever want to try it on your own again, the secret on that is to spend enough time really building that body. You've got to build it to the last tiniest detail. You've got to get so involved with creating the image that the image becomes you.
Yeah, well, okay? I saw the image. I saw me and everything, but I just, when we went up on the roof and everything, I just felt like I was seeing it in here.
I'll tell you, I had some interesting things happen. When I turned around to face you folks, okay, I didn't know that David was meditating with his arms on the couch. But I saw that with my eyes closed. You know, I saw that from the astral me looking at you. I said, that's a very odd way to meditate. It didn't look comfortable. Okay, but then when I opened my eyes at the end, I said, sure enough, you were. So that was kind of some fun feedback for me. The nicest thing about doing this, and if you practice on your own, is that if you transfer your attention, if you astral past a wall or over a roof, you can feel it. You can go up and see what it's made of. What'd you feel up there?
I felt like it was rough.
Okay.
You know, I felt the roof, I thought, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting on the point.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Straddled it, you know.
Uh-huh. And when you went up and felt the ceiling, what did it feel like?
Rough. It felt like a rough texture.
Now, you had no idea that this is a pebble finish, did you?
No.
It is. It's a pebble finish. It could have been smooth. You would have felt smooth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt roughness on both sides.
Right.
To the roof.
Okay. So, and of course, it's got asphalt shingles, so they are rough.
Yeah.
And what did you see when you looked up at the sky?
Very beautiful blue sky.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you saw blue, not dark.
Yeah.
Okay? And at the time, the lighting was just going. David, what did you see?
It's funny, too, because I saw the sky was still lit. As not light blue, there was still light in the sky, and you could still see
and
clouds.
Right. I was going to say, did either one of you see the clouds going by? Because they were very light, almost stratus clouds drifting. And the sky wasn't like midday, but it was a lot lighter than we would have expected it to be, partially because it hadn't gotten to be completely dark at that point when we were doing that.
Yeah.
So you were seeing. The thing is, when you do these things, initially, when you're doing it, you've got to just let yourself go and don't question. Get as much physical, connected to data as you can. And then afterwards, go back and check it.
It's like I said, I felt that I was doing it, but yet I felt like I was still sitting here. It was a strange.
And another part of that, I was trying to be as unobtrusive as I could. But in all honesty, you're going to have more success doing this on your own once you know the techniques than you will doing it with me, because my voice being here tends to anchor you. It tends to pull you back. Okay. So this is something that you may want to work with the tape a few times. But once you've got it down, you want to do this on your own, okay? When you came back and you sat down into yourself, how'd that feel?
I don't know, I sort of felt like someone was sitting on my lap.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was just sort of, what's that, you know?
Uh-huh, okay, so that was the astral energy coming back in. That's cool. All you did is you put your mind in you first and then the form sat down.
Yeah.
So you were almost like being in two places at once. David, how about you?
For me, it was just more like just kind of like an enmeshing of the two bodies. Kind of a, almost like a shadow self kind of moving in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, remember what we did tonight, okay? Practice it at home. I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. What I'd like you to do, David, grab a crystal ball off the table and you pull yours out. You can either sit right on the couch where you are with it, or you can go and grab a seat at one of the tables, whichever's more convenient. Remember, when we work with a crystal ball, you're going to write down your question on a piece of paper and date it, because otherwise you're going to get a host of images that you can't relate to. Okay? So get yourself comfortable, get your page ready. And we'll just do this one last practice, and then we'll call it a night. You should all be wonderfully adept at crystal gazing by now. You've had a week to go get your crystal,
And you've had a week to practice all of your gazing and impress all of your friends. Okay.
Now, I'm also going to take us through our protection, just as we did the last time we met. So close your eyes, and the first thing you want to do is to put yourself in the white light. Should be easy with the place that your mind is in right now. Now, with three breaths, slow ones, put yourself in your energy balloon. And now say your prayer of protection. Say it to yourself this time. And now last but surely not least, contact your guides and ask for their help in your crystal gazing, your life guide and your protector. Now open your eyes and focus on the crystal ball. And remember from last week, what you do when you look at your crystal, you can move it around, you can put it in a light that's comfortable for you, but you want your gaze to be out of focus, soft focused. You want to be totally relaxed. Keep your breathing deep and regular. And just go with it. Let whatever forms in the ball go. take a deep breath. And as you release it, gradually cut yourself loose from whatever images you were seeing. Bring your attention back. Okay, Jane. Well, what was your question? What did you see?
Well, first I've just, because I've asked questions of it all week, and I've sort of questioned that, so I just asked it, my crystal, you know, what it had to tell me tonight. And of course, at first all I got was this pulsating light and this feeling of, I guess you'd call it energy, whatever. And I saw a car going down a road, and two birds hit it. One dove and one buzzard, and then the car just went off in the distance. Don't ask me.
That's the problem with asking general questions of crystal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have no idea what the buzzard is and the dove and
yeah, we can't without the actual question, we can't have anything to relate the symbols to.
This week I've asked you questions like, how's my job? Is it secure? And I've gotten yes answers, you know, and stuff like that.
With the with the automatic writing, you can ask a question like that, what do you have to tell me tonight, and you'll get something that you can make sense out of. But the crystal ball, you can't do that. You have to be real specific, otherwise you'll be sitting there, and maybe in about 200 or 400 years, the situation might manifest, you know, like Nostradamus. That was good, clear images. David, what about you?
Well, the question I asked was if I'd have any interesting psychic experience when I visit Sedona next year. And it was, the only image I really got was, it seemed to me to be like an Indian's head. But there seemed to be, I couldn't think, there seemed to be something blocking the one eye. That I, no matter how I tried to focus, it would not
isn't that interesting?
Come in. And then it would kind of change to like a gnome-like image, and then it kept fading back and forth.
It sounds to me like you may make contact with a guide, but it also seems, you know, the changeover with what the eyes are, maybe while you're there, something is going to change relative to the brainwave patterns that you're working with. Because that seems to be a shift from right brain to left brain or vice versa, the blocking of that one eye. Okay. I asked, you know, what's the future of Star Child? And, you know, our new bookstore, why not? And I got some very wacky things, not what I expected. First, I saw neon lights flashing all over the place, and I hate places with flashing neon lights. I wouldn't go into them. So I thought, look, I hope that's symbolic and not actual. I never know what John's going to put in the window. And then I sat and I looked, and I saw my guide looking out at me, which was very interesting. That was a nice feeling. And I saw a table with a bunch of bookshelves behind it. And that's not something we have planned to be in the store area, so maybe that'll be in the classroom area, but that was unique. And I kept seeing somebody in the front of the wall looking in, and that was, I couldn't identify who the person was, but there was definitely someone who was important that was looking in from the front. So, we'll have to wait and see. But I don't like all those flashing neon lights. I think I might be able to handle neon lights, but not flashing.
You got that into strobe lights, not another thing.
Yeah. Does anybody have any last questions about anything we've done this evening? Okay. When you go home this week, dream together. Okay. Do your telepathy exercise. Practice your astral traveling as often as you can. Like everything else we've learned, the more you do it, the more adept you will become at it. And don't forget to practice your automatic writing, your crystal gazing, your pendulum, your meditation, all the rest of the things we've been doing. We're going to be drawing this series to a close next week. And if you want to bring some goodies and make a party out of it, that'll be wonderful. If you don't, we'll have goodies here. anything that you have questions on from what we've done over the last 4 months, anything that you would like to go back over and practice again, think about during the week and bring them up in class and we'll do some work on them. Also, bring with you your psychic development aptitude tests from the past, because we will also be doing that little exercise in class, and this will be kind of a way of comparing yourself and seeing how far you've come with what we've done. Okay, that's it.